All right, how you guys doing? Is everyone awake? Everyone tired? Everyone having fun? All right, I want to take a picture of everyone. This will be a different perspective than everyone else has. All right, 1, 2, 3. Thank you. Coo. All right, little rehash of this morning. Do you guys remember what we were talking about? Starts with a B. Beatitudes. And specifically, what beatitude were we talking about? Starts with an H. Humility, right, poor in spirit, that's good. And remember what I said, the Beatitudes show us how to honor God, that we're different, and that we're blessed, right? And again, yeah, blessed are the poor in spirit means be humble. So we're going to get to our next Beatitude, but let me ask you a question. What do you think would make you happy or feel blessed? You can maybe write this in the journal. The way to happiness is through, right? And we try to be honest with ourselves, right? Obviously, we could say the way to happiness is Jesus. And then it's like, yes, you're right. You're exactly right. But we don't always feel that way, right? Maybe we think the way to happiness is more stuff, right? A new iPhone, an iPad, a new video game, an electric bike, a snowboard, right? Maybe it's not more stuff, but maybe you would be happy if God made you a certain way, right? A little taller, a little more handsome, a little more beautiful, funnier, smarter, more athletic, more like Steph Curry, more like Taylor Swift. And maybe happiness is circumstance, right? A better circumstance, like no school, a vacation, making a certain team, going to Disneyland, right? The Beatitudes seem like they don't make sense. Right, the first one we talked about says happy are the poor, right? Well, the one we'll be talking about today says happy are the sad. But we got to remember there's more than meets the eye when it comes to these Beatitudes. So I was kind of looking online for things that are a little bit more than meets the eye. So this is the first one. What do you think that is? Record or like those tapes? They're buses. They're just a ton of buses. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, I thought they were like those little cassettes. All right, how about the next one? You know what that is? Oh, that was easy for you. Yeah, but it kind of looks like an explosion or something, right? But yeah, you're right. It's like a smoked cauliflower. All right, how about the next one? You know what that is? It looks like a dog. That's a polar bear. That's a full-on wet polar bear. Must be a baby wet polar bear or wet baby polar. All right, how about the last one? You know what that is? That is a pumpkin shaped like an apple with the color of a watermelon. I don't know why. I don't know if it's one of those kabocha, like those Japanese pumpkins. I don't know, but yeah, that's what it is. So more than meets the eye. Well, the Beatitudes are like that. They seem like something, but we have to understand them, we have to go a little bit deeper. Again, this next beatitude, and we'll bring it up here on the screen so you don't have to search for it right away, but is blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So what does it mean to mourn? Does anyone know what it means to mourn? Anyone? No? Yeah? Yeah, super sad. Right? It means to be really sad. But what are we to be sad about? In this case, Jesus is saying we need to be sad, or we need to be sorrowful over our sin. All right? I'm going to bring up the next doodle. Remember I said we can doodle during our time? So, well, here's the next doodle. Sad over sin. So we'll leave it up for a little while. And you guys can sketch that. So it literally is sad. Sketch that if you want. You can even show it to me if you make it. I know last time it went really fast, so I apologize for that. But yeah, so this is just like a doodle. You can, and it kind of gives you that thing. If you know, sometimes you're visual learners. I'm kind of a visual guy, so it helps us to kind of remember that we should be sad over our sin. So what is sin again? In essence, sin is the failure to live as God wants. right? God wants us to love him. He wants us to love others. And we often fail to do that. In the Old Testament, the word for sin was kind of like missing the mark, right? It's kind of like failing to hit the target, right? Maybe you can pull up the next one. So this is kind of like failing to hit the target, right? Me and my brothers used to try to shoot each other, so that would actually be like trying to hit your target. That would actually be hitting your target. But you get the idea. It's like missing the target. And the thing I wanted to talk about today is that sin is both vertical and it's horizontal. Does anyone know what that means by being vertical and horizontal? All right. So vertical means that our sin is against God, right? It's this way. It's against God. And horizontal means that our sin is against others or against people. So let's start with the first one. Sin is vertical. That means our sin, all sin, is against God. Even when we sin against a person, we are sinning against God because it is his laws that we are breaking. And God's laws are really about love. So sin is a failure to love. So when we fail to love someone, when we sin against them, we are failing God's law to love them. So we're sinning against God. The Puritans, these were these old guys, they had this kind of weird saying. They would say, the sinfulness of sin. That kind of sounds weird. But really what it meant is that the idea behind it was that sin is first and foremost against God. So we might think it's against others or against, yeah, my friend or my sibling or whatever, or my parent, but it's first and foremost against God. When David in the Bible sinned, this is what he said in Psalm 51:4. He said, against you, talking about God, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Now, let me ask you a question. Did David really only sin against God? No, he killed someone, right? That's a pretty big sin, right? He committed murder. But what David was saying here was that most importantly, foremost, his sin was against God. I think sometimes we forget that our sin is against God, right? When we mess up in this world, we know how it affects other people. If I gossip about a friend and they hear about it, their feelings are hurt. Right? If I make fun of someone in front of a bunch of people and they all laugh, that person is hurt by my words. And when I hurt someone, it affects my relationship, right? So I kind of feel it, right? They might get mad at me. They might stop talking to me. They might stop being my friend. So I think it's easy to see how our sin affects other people, but we forget that our sin is a breaking of God's law and a failure to live out the love he has called us to. And oftentimes we're bummed out, not by how the sin affects God or how our sin affects other people, but at how it affects us. Like we got caught and now we're bummed out about that, right? We're bummed out because there's consequences to our sin, right? If we sin against our parents, maybe they ground us. If the coach catches us not doing what we're supposed to do, then maybe he makes us run extra. I hated that. If the teacher catches us cheating, right, they might give us detention. They might fail us on that test. You know, when I was about, I want to say, second grade, my classmates and I were messing around. So we're in our class, and the teacher's teaching, and the three of us are in, you know, right next to each other, when we started messing around with pencils. And I don't exactly know what we're doing, but eventually someone got stabbed by the pencil. They got poked by the pencil, right? This guy poked the other guy. And that guy started bleeding. So he needed to go to the nurse's office. The other guy needed to go to the principal's office. And I was kind of part of it, but I wasn't like the guy that did the poking. And I wasn't the one that got poked. So I was just kind of sitting there in class. But sure enough, that one guy ratted me out. And the teacher got a call from the principal's office and said, was Kelly involved with this? And she turned to me and asked me. And I'm like, yes. And I had to go to the principal's office. So yes, one of your pastors went to the principal's office. And I was bummed. And I don't think I was necessarily bummed because this guy got hurt. I mean, maybe a little. And I wasn't bummed because of how our relationships were. I was bummed because I got in trouble, right? And now my mom and dad were going to hear about it. So I think in a lot of cases, we're not really sad about our sin against God or against others. We're sad because we got caught. Because there's trouble and there's consequences. But the thing we must remember is that our sin is against God. After all the sins that we're breaking by gossiping or by being mean or lying or whatever it is against another person is breaking God's laws. So we need to be sad over our sin. It's interesting, for this word for sad in the Bible here in the New Testament, in this verse, there's 9 words for sad in the Bible. And this is the worst of all the sads, right? So you can think about it as really, 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 really sad, right? And usually this word was used for someone who was feeling sad about someone else who died, right? I'm not sure if you've experienced that, the death of someone close to you, but it's the hardest kind of sad. I lost my dad a while back, and it's really hard. And this is how we should feel about our sin. And why are we to feel bad about our sin, or sad about our sin? We're sad over our sin because we've broken the laws of the God and Creator who made us and gave us life. We're sad because of how it hurts our relationship with God. Not that He stops loving us or loves us any less, but our sin is kind of us turning our back on God, so it kind of hurts that relationship, right? We're sad because of what it costs that we might be forgiven of these sins, Jesus' death. So it's sort of interesting that this verse says that we're blessed over our sin, or over our sadness, right? It kind of seems weird. But the blessedness is not in the sadness, but in the fact that God comforts us, right? It says that He comforts us. And how does He comfort us? Anyone can guess? By forgiving us, right? He forgives us. That's how we're comforted. Jesus went to the cross to take the punishment for our sins. Sin is our biggest problem. Sin, but because Jesus died on the cross, sins can be forgiven. And that's amazing news, right? Anything we've done or will do can be forgiven by God. And being forgiven by God means, one, eternal life. We talked about that. But also, I think here we can think about how it gives us a light heart, right? Sometimes I don't think we're aware of our sin. We're not aware of certain sins or how much we sin. We kind of have this wrong view of ourselves. I think we think we're better than we actually are, right? I kind of did some Photoshop to some pictures, and we can bring them up. This first one is Pastor Gavin, right? Sometimes you think, I'm a really good athlete, right? And you have this kind of wrong view of yourself, right? How about the next one? This is Pastor David. He's really into that kind of stuff, right? And so maybe he has this view that he's stronger than he is, or that he's more heroic than he is. Is there another one? Is there another one up there? Oh, how did that one get up there? No, I think we have a wrong view of our talents and our abilities and our looks, but I think we also fail to see how much we sin and how bad our sin is, right? We kind of have this wrong view of ourselves. As we grow in our faith and as we mature, hopefully we see less sin in our lives, but we actually get a greater awareness of our sin. So that kind of seems weird, right? Hopefully there's less sin, but as you grow, you start to see, oh, wow, there is more sin there than I actually realized. So how do we react to our sin? How should we react to our sin? Well, we could react like the Pharisees did. Remember we talked about that this morning? Pharisees said, hey, we're good. We're good people, but really good just on the outside, right? We can react like some people who know they are sinful, but say, hey, I can get it done. I can be better. I can work harder. I can try to be better. But that doesn't usually work out. Some people are saddened by their sin, and they don't know what to do with that sadness, right? They try to distract themselves from it. They try to numb themselves from it. They try to feel better with alcohol or drugs or other distractions. But there's another way. You guys remember the story of the prodigal son? You guys remember that story? I'm sure you heard it in Sunday school. Let me read it for you. It says this, and he said, there was a man who had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me. He's basically saying, give me my inheritance. And he divided his property between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had, and he took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered, meaning he wasted it, his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine, right, no food, arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. He was so hungry, he wanted to eat what the pigs ate. And no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he rose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us celebrate. And let us eat and celebrate, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." So we could be like the prodigal. That's who we should be like. We can be like this prodigal who admitted his condition. He was sad over it, and he turned to God for forgiveness. So sin is vertical. It's against God, but also it's horizontal. I think we can understand that. It's against people. Sin is horizontal. God wants us to own our sin against other people. He wants us to acknowledge and be sad over our sin against others. Do you guys remember the story of Zacchaeus? You remember that? What sticks out to you about Zacchaeus? He's short, right? Like, that's a big thing we all remember about Zacchaeus. That's true. And what did he do? What is the thing that we always remember he did? He climbed a tree, right? So there's that song. I don't know if we sang that in Sunday school, but there's that song about Zacchaeus was a wee little man. That's a weird little word for small, but I might start using that for some of my nephews. I'm going to start calling them wee little men. But yeah, he was a wee little man, and he climbed a tree, right? And that was like, that's kind of what we remember, right? But let me read the story to you. It says this: Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, don't forget about that, and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he was wee. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and he came down and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, right? The crowd grumbled. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." That means I give him four times. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, again, came to seek and to save the lost." Again, I think what we remember is that he was a small man, right? He was a wee man. And I think he's almost a hero because he climbed a tree, right? We think, oh, that's cool. He climbed a tree. He wanted to see Jesus. But really, his defining characteristic was that he was a sinner. He was a tax collector. He was taking money from his own people to give it to the Roman government. His people hated him. He was a sinner. And he knew that the only solution for his sin was Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He entered Zacchaeus' life. He invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. It said that Zacchaeus came down from the tree and he received Jesus joyfully. He was happy because he found Jesus, the one who could take away his sin. And this is really what we're talking about. He was sad over his sin, but happy because it was forgiven by Jesus. Jesus was the one that was able to save him. And the fruit of that salvation and that new relationship with God was that he wanted to love those around him, right? He wanted to make his vertical relationship was now good, and he wanted to make his horizontal relationships good. He wanted to seek forgiveness from those who he worked, to work on those horizontal relationships. He offered to give back to them what he had taken, right? It says Zacchaeus went to Jesus and made his Oh, yeah, and Zacchaeus went to Jesus, made his vertical relationship right, and then went and made all his horizontal relationships right. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone, that means if I've done something like taken it in the wrong way of anything, I restore it fourfold. For the people in your life who you've sinned against, or who are the people in your life that you have sinned against or are sinning against? It says at the end of the story that Jesus said, "I have come to seek and save the lost." The problem is that we don't always realize we're lost. We don't recognize our sin. We don't see ourselves as broken. We don't see that we've broken God's command. We tend to minimize our sin, and we make much of other people's sins. And when we don't recognize our sin, we don't seek a Savior. But when we are sad over our sin, we get to remember how all our sin is forgiven by a good and loving God. Big sins, small sins, outward sins, inward sins, hidden sins, all of our sin forgiven by God. And when we're sad about our sin, we'll be comforted. When we recognize our sin and repent, we have God, a God that will forgive us. And this is true happiness. This is blessedness. The answer to our biggest problem, again, is our biggest problem, sin, is Jesus. We're comforted. We have forgiveness. Romans 5:20 says this, "But where sin increased, grace abound all the more." If we are a Christian, we get to have this light heart that knows that God has forgiven us and loves us no matter what. That we get to be with him forever, and that we're not judged by our sin. When God looks at us, he sees Jesus' goodness and holiness and righteousness. You know, I'm much older than you, and I've had a lot more time to sin, right? It's just a numbers game, right? I'm way older than you, and so I've had much more time to sin. And I think for me, sometimes sin can feel like it's building up. I can forget that I'm forgiven, and it feels like it's growing, right? And I think back to what I did, and I get a little sad. And I think back to what I did then, and I get a little sad. And so I thought I'd bring up a helper here. CJ around? All right, where's CJ? Come on up, man. He's going to be my little helper. He's going to show kind of what I'm talking about. Yeah, big hand. All right. So imagine sin. Sin is kind of like these big, heavy bricks, right? And these bricks are heavy, but when you're young, maybe you sin a little bit, and it's not too much, right? All right, imagine, CJ's in middle school. Oh, he is in middle school. So you don't have to imagine. He's in middle school, and he sins, right? He's uncool to his brothers and sisters. So he puts this little sin in his backpack. Kind of heavy, but he can handle it, right? But then he gets to high school, all right? And CJ gets to high school, and all high schools wear hoodies, so like that's how we have to dress a kid in high school. And he likes to wear oversized hoodies, so this hoodie's a little bit big, but that's okay. But he gets to high school, and he talks back to his mom and dad, rolls the eyes, gives an attitude, kind of impatient with them. Oh, and then it gets a little heavier, right? And then he gets to be a young man, right? Graduates college, goes off to work, he becomes a young man. Now he's working, right? He's a businessman. But all his focus is just on making money. He's just pursuing the world, just making money, doing what he wants, and his sins get a little heavier. Gets a lot to bear, right? I told him it wasn't going to be very heavy. I wasn't planning on bringing Bic, so it actually really is kind of heavy. And then he kind of gets to middle age, right? He's a dad, and dads all have kind of crazy curly mustaches like that, and dads wear dad caps, right? So now he's a dad. Maybe he's not cool to his wife. Maybe he doesn't do a good job of parenting, right? More sin. More sin. And then CJ gets old, right? He gets old and old and gray. And he's telling kids to get off his lawn. He's shaking his fist at them. And there goes more sin, right? And I think that's what sin can do, right? When you don't really believe that God has forgiven it. But God says, I'm going to take this backpack. He's going to take it off. And he said, you don't need to carry this anymore. It's forgiven. And then he's like, and he has a light heart. Thank you. Right? Jesus says, my son died for these. And you no longer have to carry these around. All right. So today, kind of our last thing, you know, we did an application this morning. We wrote a note to our parents. Today, I want you to grab your journal, and I want you to think about your sin. Now, I think in your lifetime, you've probably heard a million times, oh, you're a sinner. We're all sinners. People are sinners, right? And that's true, and that's right. But I think sometimes we hear that, and it kind of loses its effect on us, and it doesn't really kind of carry any kind of weight. And we just think, oh, we're all sinners, you know, and that's who we are. But what I want you guys to do is I want you to actually write down the sins that you struggle with. I think writing them down on a piece of paper and seeing them in front of you, that carries a little bit more weight. And I want you to think about these sins. You know, I put some, you know, sins up here as possibilities, right? Not being kind to our siblings, anger at our parents, lying, gossiping, being prideful, thinking.